Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The podcast from True and Mike is, I think it's really cool, and that is what I wanted to say.
Two and a mic. Today I'm joined by Svenja and Eileen from Flock, a startup movement geared towards assisting Flinter, or LGBTQIA+, as we say in English. It's a great concept, and I feel privileged to have had the opportunity of speaking with two very brave and driven people who have a real goal to achieve something valuable and so very beneficial to society. Thank you both very much for your time. And I really look forward to our next chat together too. I'm happily joined here today by Svenja and Eileen from an organization called Flock. Welcome, ladies, on a Sunday morning.
Hey, good morning. Great to be here.
An absolute pleasure. And Eileen, are you with us?
Hi, Zach. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, I was thinking about it earlier. You know, I'm really lucky to be able to speak to lots of different people and new perspectives and new ideas. And both of you represent something very fresh and very new for me. So I'm really looking forward to learning from you about what you do. So who wants to open up first? Who wants to tell me who you are?
Eileen, go first. It's your turn.
Okay, it's my turn. Maybe we would like to issue a trigger warning at first.
Yeah.
Because we are dealing with a sensitive topic, with experiences, and that should not burden anyone who has had traumatic experiences. And the topic is sexual harassment. So, yeah, here we go. So my name is Eileen Shakibi. I live in Berlin. I study at the Free University of Berlin, and I'm one of the four founders of Flock, a project that develops a matching app that brings Flinter together, especially in the evening and at night when they are alone on their way home or generally on their road, and they do not want to be alone because they simply feel more comfortable together with like-minded people. And the reason why is sexual harassment, like I mentioned, or coercion and targeted attacks on Flinters in public spaces, especially when they are alone. So therefore, we want to develop an app called Flock.
Wonderful concept and a great name. Could you also explain Flinter to the non-German speaking audience, what you are referring to when you say Flinter?
Yes, of course. So maybe a short introduction to me before. Yes, I'm Svenja. I'm one of the co-founders of Flock. And yes, I'm doing the business part together with Eileen. And yeah, I'm also a master's student, but not in Berlin. I'm living in Bochum in Germany. And yeah, Flinter. As you already said, like, Flinter is a German term, and it describes female, lesbian, intersexual, non-binary, transgender, and agender people. So in the end, all groups that are not cis male people, and we address all of them, and not only cis female people, because all of them are vulnerable in a sense. And our solution should help everybody who needs it and not only cis female people. And this is why we address Flinter. And you already asked what the meaning is, and this is not the first time somebody is wondering about it. And we had great discussions in our team if we want to use this term or not, but in the end we decided to do because we think it's important to raise awareness that feminism is not only about women, it's about every gender. And so this is why we kind of use this unknown term on purpose. So because the more we talk about it, the more aware other people get. And so this is why we address Splinter in the end.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful that you are sort of expanding the principles behind feminism to also encompass these other genders. I have heard in the past that some genders feel a little bit left out of the gender discussion. So when we talk about gender discrimination, clearly we talk about the inequalities between men and women. But that doesn't automatically also refer to the other gender. So it's fantastic that you are really pushing forward that within your idea. But also the term flock, as a result, takes on a new meaning, doesn't it? So this term flock, it's a wonderful choice.
Yes, we think the same. So we feel we want to create a flock, a community, a safe space for the community. That's why we choose the word flock. And the meaning is really deep, and I think it fits totally to our project.
Yeah, so also with flock, I guess it's, the nice thing of the meaning is that when birds fly around as part of a flock, they feel safe together, and they do it because they want to appear as a stronger group. And this is how we want to bring together Splinter, so that they feel stronger together. And this is why we chose it. And I mean, bird is also used in a more negative sense sometimes, I think, but we want to use it so that we can reframe it, and also that it's a bit more stronger than maybe other security app names. And this is also what we want. We want to create a strong community and not only a safe solution. So
And clearly there will be some people who turn around and say, yeah, but men also get abused, men also get discriminated against. I'm assuming that anybody who is or feels in some way discriminated against or abused or in some way victimized would be able to benefit from the app. So I don't think you necessarily exclude anybody, do you?
So yeah, that's a really difficult topic. So of course we don't deny that male people have this problem, and also that they get abused and stuff. This is a serious problem as well, and they also experience violence on the street and stuff. So this is nothing we want to deny, but our main goal is to create a safe space for the vulnerable groups, the more vulnerable groups. And this is unfortunately not possible if we include everybody, because we are not able to provide a secure space if we have male people in there, because you never know what happened. And so part of our solution is a ID verification, so that we can make sure who is using the app and who get registered. And of course, we are excluding some male people who might need the solution. Really important, for example, also homosexuals. They are also a big vulnerable group and experience violence. But at the moment right now, we are not able to provide a secure solution with including everybody. But in the future, when we have more money, then we can storage the IDs, and we can afford for that. And then we are able to include everybody, and also male people who need a solution. But our first version, unfortunately excluded this groups. Yeah.
Okay, a wonderful explanation and reason. No, of course, it's important. There will be a question put out there. So it's very important that men know it's not them that are automatically, if people are victimized and male, they are not automatically the ones who are excluded. It's the unfortunate situation that there are so many, or potentially so many men who could also become abusers. And a simple example of this is what unfortunately is happening to women and children who come from Ukraine seeking refuge. And they are being preyed upon by men who set themselves up as I will look after you and so on. But really, they want to basically have a kind of sex slave at home. And it's horrific. So, you know, completely understandable reasoning for that. Yeah.
Yeah, that there is a good example for that that, yeah, illustrates quite good, I would say. So imagine that you have a cake and there are different pieces and only one piece is toxic. Would you try one of these pieces? I don't know. And so we kind of, try to prevent, having somebody... a piece of this cake, or just make sure that this toxic piece doesn't get part of our community, I would say. But of course it doesn't mean that everybody is part of the problem. I really, it isn't, but there's just a likelihood that something happens.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. And very well put, actually. And it has to be stressed that neither Svenja nor Aileen are native English speakers. And yet you're both speaking so very well. And I can only compliment you for both the way that you speak, but also the courage for being able to speak about these kinds of topics in a non-native language. Because whenever I've been learning a language, if I get emotional about a topic, I switch automatically to my native language because I find it so difficult. So you're both doing so very well. So my compliments on that basis. So we're starting to get a bit of an idea here about Flock. Do you want to tell us a bit more about it, Aileen?
About the idea of Flock?
Yeah.
While you were talking about the problem with males, I was thinking of a study. And why we do not include men or male persons. And there was one study from November, it's that long ago, I think, from November last year, and it's from the Criminological Research Institute, I think from Lower Saxony. And that said that almost 4,000 Flinters experienced their appearance being judged or being stared at in the same, at the last 3 months. And more than half had been insulted based on gender. They also been subjected as sexual advances, and more than 40% had been called sexist names. So just under half of them were followed and experienced other problems where also close physical harassment was. And a good quarter of them classified themselves as Flinter or LGBTQAI+. So unfortunately, it is obviously an intentionally trivialization of by society. And like they are telling us, don't be so sensitive from catcallings or dress differently at night, don't go out that late. So there are a lot of phrases we hear as Flinter, and that's obviously invading our privacy and often said by people who have never had experience like this. And most of the perpetrators are unfortunately male persons. So that's the reason why we exclude men, to make it clear we have statistics that prove it, and we have a reason why we don't want to open our idea to everybody, to give them access. Like Svenja said with the cake, one piece is toxic, and so we have to be careful.
But maybe now we talked a lot about what we don't want in our community. Maybe we should talk about what we want in our community. Mm-hmm. I guess our practical solution got kind of clear. I mean, Aileen described it in the introduction. But as we said, our solution is more than only having a matching app. Our solution should be a community, a safe space where people raise awareness together and where like-minded people can exchange about their experience. And so one approach we also have, so we don't want to develop the solution on our own. We already want to include the target group in the community in our process. And so beside this solution, we have some community events where we also talk about such topics that are related to gender equality in general. For example, the last event was together with Catcalls of Germany. This is an organization that raises awareness to verbal sexual harassment on streets. And this is also something that is really important to us, that we not only address the problem that women or Flinter need to go home alone, we also want to address the structural problem laying under it, because in the end, Flinter should not adapt to solve the problem. In the end, the society needs to change, that Flinter don't have this problem anymore. And this is why we want to raise awareness with our community for the structural problem. We talk to the people, we have these events. We also try to raise some awareness on social media to connect people there. And this is also a big part of what we are doing. So not only the app development, but also the more political structural work behind it.
And to be more specific how the app works, we are the Flock app. Flinter can match up with an identical or similar route and walk, cycle, or use public transport together. Users can enter the time, destination, and desired transport and are suggested possible companions. So that's what our apps, our Flock app can do. And after an intermediate verification, the users can discuss further details via chat and walk together the route.
Yeah, wonderful. It makes absolute sense. Also that you are developing or creating a network where you can bring together these different organizations, like-minded organizations. Mm-hmm. But you both mentioned their catcalling and obviously the organization named Catcalls of Germany. How offensive is it to you as a woman walking down the street, maybe past a building site, which is that's the cliche, isn't it? When there's a building site and, women walk past and all the men be, oh, look at that. But it's not only men who build, houses and stuff who are capable of doing these things. But how offensive is it for a woman walking down the street for somebody to, catcall in their direction?
For me, it's really offensive, I would say. I mean, personally, it really depends on the situation. To be honest, when it's by day and it's crowded, of course, it's offensive. It really is, but I don't get that scared as I am walking alone at night. And this is also something people should be aware of when they approach a Flinter on street, that even if it's just a nice comment or compliment, just don't do it when it's at night and the person is alone. This is not the right place to make any compliment, even if there is a nice purpose behind it or something. This is just something where people get scared, or where they feel treated in their personal space and their personal borders. And so for me, it really depends on the situation, but in general, it's really offensive getting catcalled. And it's really something I don't feel taken serious or respected, to be honest.
Yeah, lots of good points there, Svenja. I remember once speaking with a student, and the student said to me, or asked me, what I was going to be doing, because I always ask my students the same question. And this one came back and I said, yeah, tonight I'm going to go for a run after whatever time. And she looked at me with like big eyes, say, wow, you go for a run at nighttime. And this is the first time that I've reflected upon this. That's for women in a large urban setting, it's not always comfortable for them to go out for a run on their own. And this really sort of ties into a lot of what you're saying. Is it possible to say that, for example, it's not just in itself the cat call that's the problem, even though that is enough to be insulting, but it's also the potential associated violence that could thereafter follow if the person who's calling, shall we say, doesn't get the response that he, and invariably it's a male, gets. So, you know, it starts with a cat call, but then what happens potentially?
Totally. And we did a survey on that. So, and asked, people where they are afraid about when they are out at night. And most of them really said it's sexual harassment. And on the second place, it's verbal sexual harassment. So it's kind of the introduction to it, I would say. And it just gives you this unsafe feeling of, of course, there's something happening here right now. I don't have control over it. I know what happened to some of my friends. Maybe we know all of the stories, for example, what happened in the UK and all of the stuff. And of course, then people associate this with, what could happen afterwards. Is it sexual harassment? Is it rape or whatever? And catcalling is definitely the start into it, I would say.
And when you say the UK, you mean the very, very sad rape and murder of Sarah Everard by a police officer, all right. I don't have words to explain that, but I mean, when you have people who you expect to protect the community carry out the very crimes they're supposed to protect that community from, I think that really knocks back organizations that seek to find safety within an institution. And it's horrific. It's horrific. And similar incidents is obviously that the church carried out. So, you know, these are things that should never happen. Eileen, it's also quite a personalized thing for you, isn't it? The program that you've got, the service that you want to create, it means something, you know, very much to you as well personally, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Of course it does. And and again, a trigger warning, maybe I should tell a personal story. And I experienced it myself. And it started when I was a teenager, to be honest. But like in the study, I'm one of the women who experienced it more than one time in life. So, I wouldn't know where to start. And honestly, just thinking back on it, it doesn't make me feel good. But I think it's important to speak about this experiences, because we have a big taboo still in Germany, and we should break it. And what comes to my mind first is the case when I rejected a strange man who approached me at a tramway station. So, however, he did not let go, even when I ignored him. So he followed me into the tramway, yelled at me, and in my distress, I got off the next tramway station, and there I saw two women speaking to another, and I asked if I could join them and stand next to them just for a moment, and they totally understand. And that strange guy was waiting for me, obviously, but a few minutes later he left, and I was really happy and released. What can I say? So I think that was my first vlog. To be honest, and also the inspiration for the idea I had at the university.
All right. Yeah, that's very important also for us to kind of have a sense of where the concept comes from, and also for understanding in many ways the need for it. And also the need for establishing the limitation. So, Svenja, you just said there about that you feel it's important that men realize this. You're not happy at this stage to have to say, sorry, we've got to exclude anybody from the flock, because your idea is not to exclude people. Your idea is actually to proactively protect the vulnerable. And this is what people have to understand. It's also a bit like in the USA with the movement for Black Lives Matter. And then other people came out with, but actually all lives matter. Yeah, but the question wasn't then that all lives were under threat. Black lives were under threat. And that's why they needed to be, they needed the focus of attention on that particular situation. And here, quite clearly, it's similar. It's Flinter, which is essentially under threat, and not men.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, the thing is that for our solution, this really works. And this is also, of course, we can say, okay, who cares about, I don't know, the men who feel insulted by us because we exclude them. I mean, we could be like this, but in the end, when we want to solve the structural problem, we need to have everybody in the boat and not only the people who have the problem. We need to have a structural, a societal movement, and need to make a change in a bigger sense. And this is why it's also important that men are stay by our side and change something. Also, if you have a friend and he is catcalling someone, say something, stand up for the woman there and say, come on, dude, this is, don't do it. It's just not funny. So, and this is really important that in every friend group, you also have this this male allies who stay with us, who stay with our community.
Absolutely. So, and also the majority of Flinters suffer from it and not men. And what we want is to take back our freedom as a community. And our co-founder, Julien, summed it up with the slogan, bring back the cess I really love. So it means like we don't want to be restricted anymore. The change is coming by empowering each other. And yeah, I think bring back the cess is a really good slogan for us.
Mm. And it's also a question about, listening to one another, respecting, not interrupting, because I hear it quite a lot from people that I speak with when they actually get to talk to me one to one. And you see that they're a bit upset and you say, what happened? Like, yeah, my boss kept on interrupting me. My male colleagues were never interrupted, but every time I tried to say something, I was interrupted. We should actively tell our teammates also, or our boss, or even relatives, listen to your either siblings or listen to, your mother as well, or your auntie, because people have to realize that everyone has the same value. And the earlier we learn this within our lives, the easier it is for society to develop in a more harmonious fashion. So you're absolutely right. We all have to come together. Essentially, and it's long overdue. So I'm that's why I'm so happy that I have the opportunity of speaking with you, as you go through the process of developing this wonderful project, which naturally leads us to Eileen, you also telling us which stage you're at, basically.
Okay. So where are we right now? We have spent several months right now on developing on the idea and prototyping, and now we are in the process of testing the prototype or paper prototype with our community at events, like Svenja mentioned, and we want to adapt it to their needs. So in our eyes, it makes sense right now to create an app with the community for the community, and therefore we want to create events. And the next goal is, of course, testing the app with the community and taking part of various competitions and attract more attention in this way, so that at the end of the year we can put the MVP to the ultimate test with our focus group and get the results to create the best vlog app we have in mind.
Mm. And here I should also say, this is kind of how we actually met, Eileen, isn't it? Because Anna introduced us because you wanted to take part in the Safe Spaces Hackathon. And I think they had just closed the registration period. And I think at that point was when you heard about it through Anna. And Anna contacted me on that basis. Can you just quickly talk about the hackathon and your experience from that event?
The Safe Circles Hackathon.
Yes, yeah. Safe Circles, yeah.
Yes, Safe Circles Hackathon was, it was based in London, but was held online. That was the reason why Julien and I could join it. And it was really fun. I think we had 2 weeks to recreate our idea we already had. And it was really, it was a chance for us to grow as a team, because at that point we were only two and we needed more. Yeah, we needed people who understand our message and support us also by developing it or programming. So we wanted to scale up. And there we met Greta, who is our third co-founder. She's taking care of programming and app and website. And she was also totally into this idea, like us, to change the situation that women feel uncomfortable and restricted at night. And for this, the hackathon was really nice to meet her, to grow as a team and to rethink and create this business plan in a short time. So it was really fun. I think the moderation or the Safe Circles Hackathon was made up by Lorena and Christina. So I hope the names are right. And at the end, we had the fourth place. We were the winner of the fourth place. So can I say it like this?
You just did. That's wonderful. Yeah, absolutely.
Fourth place. And it was really nice, because we weren't the only team with this idea, to be honest. So there have been a few teams, but our idea was a bit more, I don't know, it was more catchy, I think. I have no idea, but I liked it. So here we are.
Yeah, good. A wonderful experience. And also great to be able to emerge within a group of like-minded people too. So that also says a lot about the movement, the need, because clearly if there was no need, then all of these different people would not have come together. But then also about how sort of polished your concept is. There is a wonderful development in your idea and what you're doing. And you also talk there about bringing the team together. So you've spoken about yourself with Julien and Greta, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Svenja, what about you? When did you jump into the team?
Yeah, so I have a slightly different journey. So I started off on my own in December 2020 and also needed a co-founder, and then I found one and we developed this idea together, did market research, already built up a brand and everything. And last December, so December 2021, my co-founder, she weren't able to continue the project because of time issues. And so, maybe we should also mention Verena. She is still part of the team. She's our social media manager and does a great job there. And so we were just both of us. And I was kind of struggling what I should do now, because it's a lot of work to do it on my own. And I'm a team player and I need somebody by my side who is supporting me and I can support. And we have this, just developed this idea together. And then Aylin contacted me because we had this event together with KidCos of Germany, I guess. And this is how she got to know us. And then we just had a talk and we were like, wow, we have the same idea, the completely same idea. We have the same values. And so we decided to just cooperate and to do it together, because we want to build a community where people support each other. Why shouldn't we do the same in our team? And so, this was how we met and how we decided to continue our journey accompanied. Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. And how hard is it? So, because you're in Bochum, so Eileen's in Berlin. I guess there are, there may even be other cities within your network. How hard is it for you to plan? Because I'm an old baby because I'm trying to get back into video gaming. So, understanding how developers find it difficult to have worked on a specific technical project from different zones and different areas. It's really tough for them. It's really delayed a lot of their processes. Are you facing a similar struggle with regards to sort of the technical development of your project because you're so far apart?
Yeah, I mean, I guess Eileen and I, we are not the best people here to speak about the technical development because we are doing the business part, but yeah, so just coming together as a team is sometimes really difficult because also none of us is doing this full time. So all of us are studying besides this or are employed or something. And so Greta, she is living in London. Verena is in Stuttgart. Julia is also in Berlin. And so we have four cities and yeah, we have regular meetings and stuff, but it was really hard also at the beginning to find a good rhythm, how we work and how we divide the teams, because now we are quite big team and we really had to structure, okay, who's in charge of what, who's meeting for which stuff so that not everybody needs to get involved in anything. So yeah, this was kind of hard, but now I think it works out quite well. So we are able to Zoom, we have Slack as a communication channel. And so now I think it's working, but at the beginning it was really hard. And of course, it's also really sad that I'm not able to have a beer with this great people after work. So yeah, but I think in summer, maybe we're gonna find a time to meet each other in person. Yeah.
So you've never all actually met together? You've never, okay.
No. Never ever.
Wow, that's cool. I mean, it's brilliant though to be able to develop such, warm relations in many ways from such a distance. I mean, I can only put that down to a heightened sense of empathy, but and clearly commitment to a similar goal must help a lot in building up that team spirit and team value.
Yeah, and it's also so interesting to see the perspective of Greta, for example, who's living in the UK, because even if we address the same problem and have the same thing all over the world, the stage of how aware people are and how people treat this topic is slightly different. And so it's really enriching for us to have this international team so that we create a solution that we can scale in the end so that everybody can make use of it and not only people in Germany, like, for example, I did before I met my other team members. So, yeah.
Okay. And Julien is from France. Is that correct?
So he's living in Berlin. I guess he's half France, half German, right, Eileen?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And it's an interesting point there from Svenja. Aiden, if you, because you met Greta, I guess, at Safe Circle. So before I'd use the wrong name, it's Safe Circles. How different is the sort of the UK approach currently and the German approach? Can you put a finger on it? Is there something you can identify?
At the beginning of the Safe Circles Hackathon, I realized that it's a big topic. I mean, sexual harassment, catcalling, and so on. It's a big topic in UK, and they are really aware of this topic. And we have to work on it in Germany. So it's not everywhere in Europe the same situation. I mean, we talked about this horrible case of Sarah before, and that's one of the reasons why I think in Germany we are not so aware of it, or we ignore it somehow. I don't know what's happening right here. I can't understand, to be honest, but I realized that in UK they are really aware also in the States. And for us, it was really good. I mean, we are, of course, we are aware of this topic. And for this, I think it is simply good to have a lot of heads to question and analyze such a big social misunderstanding, even between the countries, and to find the right questions and answers, why, and what can we do. And so that's why it's so important to have so many different international minds in our team. And we are still searching for the answers, to be honest, because for me it's not clear why we are not talking about this topic this intensive like UK does.
Could it be down to, when we were talking about the episodes, we said that we wouldn't discuss the different concepts and forms of feminism, which is fair enough. From my understanding, though, just to make a potential observation, is it possible that because there's so much more emphasis on this, so I suppose either American feminism or the sort of Anglo-Saxon feminist approach, which is a bit more perhaps direct or more direct than it has been in Europe. Could this directness have been a reason why it was forced into the mainstream as a topic that has to be discussed? And is this perhaps also why politicians in the UK have for a long time been more aware of this issue? And the reason why I say politicians is because most people outside of Germany would not be aware that the main leader of the opposition in Germany, somebody called Merz, talked about feministische Außenpolitik in such a disparaging way. That if in the UK Sir Keir Starmer had said something so disrespectful towards women, he'd have lost his position as the leader of the opposition. And so therefore, there is a completely different cultural approach in Germany to some of these issues. It still surprises me that Merz can continue as his party's leader, having made such an openly disrespectful comment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, unfortunately, the example of Merz illustrates quite well that there is still a conservative group in our society that has this sexist mindset. And this group is unfortunately represented in our politics. And this is why politicians like Merz are still successful. And from my point of view, it's really alarming that such degrading statements are still tolerated in Germany. But I want to refer to another point you mentioned, the directness of feminism, because I think this is a really important point and might be a reason why feminism in UK is more popular and successful also. But to be honest, from my personal point of view, I'm not sure if being more direct is the right approach to bring feminism to the mainstream in Germany. Because when you talk to people also Angela Merkel, they often say, I'm part of or I support gender equality, but I'm not a feminist. They hesitate to call themselves a feminist because they associate this term with the more radical movement in the 1970s. And this was a really important movement, and it was important that it was that direct and radical. But nowadays I have the feeling that many people are afraid to commit to such a radical group because they don't know enough about it and are afraid of being radical in general or making some aggressive statements. And also Merkel, she just confesses to feminism towards the end of her period in government. And you can also have a look at social media. There are direct postings and aggressive postings, but they only reach a certain bubble and not the mainstream. And therefore, I think a way to bring feminism to the mainstream would be a more objective and factual debate about it. But this is only my personal opinion, and I'm sure there are more experts who have another opinion on that. But nevertheless, it would be really enriching to just analyze the development in UK and the States and find out the reasons why feminism became more popular there. And it would be great to talk with Greta about this and how she perceives the situation. But yeah, I don't know, Aileen, what do you think about it? Do you have a specific reason why there is still this difference between UK and Germany?
No, I had the same in mind. Also, I think in our society, it's a problem that you first have to prove that you were actually the victim. That's a big problem right here. So, I mean, sexual harassment triggers charm feelings. Can I say it like this? Charm feelings? Schamgefühl. And this is the reason why we are not talking so openly about it. And that's isolating us and makes official figures of such offenses not appear in statistics. You know what I mean? It's a vicious circle. So we are not talking about it. It's not clear for everybody what's happening. So we have to explain that we are victims, and that's a problem. Why should we explain that we are victims? So I have, again, an experience in mind, but I'm not sure to tell it right now. Was also a moment in my life where I realized we have a problem, because most of the people who did not experience this cannot imagine how it is.
Yeah, as Svenja has just translated the term that used, a sense of shame. So that's what you're referring to. So that lots of victims of abuse do not come forward because they feel embarrassed. And sometimes they also feel horrifically, it's therefore responsible for what happened. And this is also why they don't come forward, especially when the aggressor is somebody that is known to them, which unfortunately also happens all too often. So the statistics are skewed, essentially. So whatever we officially see as the figures for abuse, it's actually a lot worse than that, isn't it?
Of course, yeah. And the statistic is not full. I mean, like you said, the most of the victims, I said like victims, but the most of the flinters who experience this feel ashamed of it. So they are not talking about it. They are not telling anybody. I mean, like I said, we often hear the phrases, don't dress like this, don't go out so late. So what's your problem? And
More
horrible than in statistics.
But this is like a very old and I'd say boring excuse. I say why I use those words, because I was watching a documentary a year ago on the Yorkshire Ripper. And this was something that happened in the 70s. And, you know, we're talking in the UK, there was, you know, the time of sort of feminism and women really standing up and taking control of their lives. And while the Ripper was still at large and attacking women, the police would suggest to women, don't go out on your own, take a man with you. Yeah, women should not be out on their own without a man. And so therefore there was this, you know, and also some of the victims were, I think one of the victims perhaps was a prostitute, but it was almost inferred that the women who were being attacked were of low morality or were basically asking for it if they're out at a certain time. You know, as in, we're talking 50 years ago, this was basically how, not directly what the police said, but you could kind of read into it, yeah? And then some journalists took it upon themselves to expand on that in a, you know, irresponsible manner, of course. But values haven't changed too much, really, have they? I mean, if you see a woman walking down the street and she's wearing whatever she chooses to wear, or any a man, if he's wearing a skirt, whatever, you know, people are still automatically judgmental, aren't they?
I guess they are. And this is what I also wanted to add. You were talking about 50 years ago, but unfortunately, in some sense, I don't have the feeling that it changed that much. And I mean, the thing is, it's not only about judgment, it's also about blaming. So victims often get blamed for or asked, what did you wear when they experienced sexual harassment? There's also a great exhibition on that and an Instagram channel that shows the clothing of the people who got raped. And this shows so clearly that there's no correlation between the outfits and the happening. And this is something we always have to keep in mind. And also, yeah, flinters have to keep in mind. So many flinters, unfortunately, restrict themselves and are thinking, oh, can I wear it? Is it too sexy? How do people, or especially men, perceive it if I wear such a sexy outfit? But in the end, we really have to keep in mind that never the victim has the fault for what happens. The clothing and what you're wearing is never the reason for getting raped. The reason is always the bad behavior of the raper or the catcaller. And this is something which is really, really important. And yeah, it's a message I really want to send out here. Please don't restrict yourself because of the looks or the catcalling or something else. The men have to adjust. They have to change their behavior and stop catcalling you. Your outfit is not an invitation. And therefore, please let's support each other and say, you look great in this, let's wear it. And don't restrict yourself and your freedom and your sass because of the looks or catcalls or maybe even sexual harassment.
Mm. Yeah. Well, definitely whoever is victimized or the recipient of abuse is never at fault. Yeah, and this is something that has to be highlighted, regardless of what they're wearing, regardless of what they say. There's no justification for anybody to feel they have a right to abuse or force themselves or their views on other people, especially when you're out to have fun. I mean, just the pure thought that after all of these years, of a pandemic as well, people are going to be, I mean, this summer, a lot of people are going to be going out there and, just letting their hair down and just going crazy and having fun. They should be allowed to do so. And I already feel sorry for those people who are going to experience abuse, because they are going to experience abuse this summer as well, when they should actually just be having fun. Yeah. Which brings us on to the next point, which is basically, what are the next steps then for the Flock app? What have you set up as your sort of deadline? When do you think it will become widely available? What kind of timeline are we looking at?
Like I mentioned, now we are in the testing phase. So we are testing it with the community, and we want to be 100% clear that we have a perfect app for our community, created from our community. And if we are at the point that we have the best solution and security developed, then I think we are at the end of the year ready for our MVP. So that was the plan. And next year we want to release. So that's the plan right now. I mean, it can change. It depends on our events, our community events, and our prototype developing and MVP and so on. But in this case, security is most important for us, and we have to be 100% clear that everybody is in a safe space if they are using the Flock app. So,
And also people should know, outside Germany especially, that within Germany, data security and data privacy are very, very huge factors when coming up with anything technical. And so therefore, this is something that you will automatically cover. So anybody who wants to download the app when it's available from outside of Germany shouldn't have to worry too much. But obviously, it always makes sense to check things for where you are. But very, very high sense of data privacy in Germany. And also, where can people find out a bit more about you? So if we can head towards the media awareness element, how can people join with your network? How can people come and speak with you themselves? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so on Instagram is a great platform to find us. So the name is the_flock_app. And it would be great if some of you joins our next community event. I guess it's in May. We don't have a fixed date yet, but we release it there. And so it would be great if you would like to discuss with us about these topics we mentioned here, and to hear about your experience and also your opinion about our prototype. and what you're missing, what you like, and all of the stuff. And our website is www.flogoff.app. And you can also subscribe there to get all of the further information, to keep updated about our progress. And yeah, we are always happy to get in contact with people. And also, if you have some critique or something you want to add on what we said here, feel free to contact us. We are always open to learn and discuss this topic also with you. So, yeah.
Wonderful. And I will also put that your contact data in the podcast notes as well, so that people can see it there and they'll be able to click on those directly. Aileen, any last thoughts from yourself?
We as a team want to create awareness for this topic we talked about with Flock, and we are taking an offensive approach by creating a safe space together with the Flock community, where the aim is to empower each other and give back a positive attitude towards life. So I would be happy to see new followers on Instagram, or you can join us as well on LinkedIn. Name is Join the Flock. And I have to thank you, Zach, for having us. It was really great to have this podcast with you. It's our first podcast.
Yeah, which is a great privilege for me to have been able to host both of you for the first time. And what's great is that we're going to do a bit of a series. So, we'll be able to follow you as you continue your fantastic path towards the creation of this app, and hopefully beyond that as well, because you've all got such interesting stories to tell. I'm just really looking forward to it. So I actually thank you for the opportunity of speaking with you and getting to know you, because I think that I'm directly the one who benefits, but also anybody who listens to this podcast, they will also benefit from hearing about the great work that you're doing. So I thank both of you for coming on and talking to me.
Yeah, thanks also from my side. Again, it was so great and so interesting to talk about these topics. And maybe we should keep up on this slightly difference between UK and Germany with feminism. Maybe Greta could join next time, because I really want to know what is the reason for this difference there. And so, yeah, maybe to be continued, maybe we'll find out the reason in the next episode. Who knows?
Absolutely, absolutely. A wonderful cliffhanger there. thank you very much, both of you. You're both fantastic to come on and talk with me in such a articulate fashion, especially when you're talking about such emotional and important topics. And you're brilliant in your communications. So thank you again. And until next time.
Bye-bye,
thanks. Bye. Two and a mic.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.